If we were ever to put a Christmas pageant on and have the nativity scene acted out by adults, we'd want to go someplace like a cattle ranch in Wyoming, out in the middle of nowhere, to typecast the shepherds. The occupation of shepherd, of course, goes back a couple thousand years before Christ, and is very evident in many places in the world today, and I've already mentioned Becca Larson. I emailed Becca a while back to try to get some firsthand information about the shepherds that she's working with for this message, but you know, she's in a primitive village and out in the fields and doesn't have email access very much. So I never heard. Shepherds in Bible times were weather-worn and rough around the edges and likely uneducated. They, from a very early age, they were expected to be out in the fields. And so generally they didn't go to school. So picture shepherds with coarse hair, rugged complexions, matted beards. Yet on the inside, they had soft hearts because they were animal lovers. And they cared for their flocks and they protected them from predators and would do just about anything, including laying down their own life for their flocks. And so Jesus took that metaphor of the shepherd for himself, calling himself the Good Shepherd. What the shepherds shared with our previous two Christmas mentors, Mary and Joseph, was their simplicity. They did not preoccupy themselves with a whole lot else other than tending their flocks. They were men of simple faith. Their religion could be summarized by the Jewish Shema, or the mantra of the Jews, which basically said, "The Lord our God is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." That was their religion. And there wasn't a whole lot of complicated theology beyond that. So these were just the type of guys that God would evidently choose to do something very special to. Well, one time, a couple thousand years ago, there was a group of them that were huddled in an enclosure in the limestone rock outcroppings that are just outside of Bethlehem. I've seen them. I've been there. Bethlehem is no longer a little town. Bethlehem is a pretty good-sized city. But the fields that surround Bethlehem look the same now as they did 2,000 years ago. And there are these limestone rocks that just come out of the ground. And inside those limestone rock outcroppings, there's these carved-out enclosures. And so you can picture the scene exactly when you're there. They're huddled inside one of these rock outcroppings, and a fire's going, and their flocks are safely in the fold. And then an event happened to them as amazing as the angel Gabriel's appearance to Mary. And we will pick up the text to kind of take it in pieces. Luke 2, verses 8 and 9. And there were shepherds living out of the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Well, who wouldn't be terrified in the presence of a supernatural being? You know, the entire witness of Scripture attest to this. You know, I think of Peter falling at Jesus' feet, just terrified at the great catch that happened when Jesus, they hadn't caught anything, and Jesus said, "Just put your boats out in deeper water," and they haul in this huge catch of fish, and just Peter falls down at Jesus' feet, just fearful. I think of the disciples' response to Jesus calming the storm on the Lake of Galilee. When this happened, they were terrified. They were afraid, and the response of fear had to do with their own sinfulness being illuminated in the presence of holiness. That's what that had to do with. One of the Proverbs says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I really doubt that any of us are in a position to really understand the grace of God, the good news of our gospel, apart from this good fear of the Lord. And maybe one of the things that is quite a bit missing these days is the trembling. Where is there any trembling left before God? We need to apprehend what we have been saved from. The utter depravity of our sinful nature. And these shepherds, with their simplicity of faith, they were no different than us when it came to the depravity of their souls, of their sinful nature, and their utter need for God, for a Savior. So they're terrified before the direct presence of a supernatural being because they're in touch with their own sinful nature as they're in the presence of God. Well, next, being in that place of having this fear and trembling before God because of their knowing who they are in comparison to who God is, at that point in time, the grace of God comes. Verses 10 to 12. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, and he is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Well, again, I think of the consistency of the scriptural accounts of God's response to people falling before him in fear. Always, the response is, "Be not afraid." Whether it's Isaiah, who was trembling before God in the temple when he saw a vision of the holy God in the temple, whether it's John, the Apostle John, trembling before God as he saw this vision of the risen, glorified Christ in Revelation chapter 1, falls down before God, whether it's the disciples trembling before God at the calming of the storm. In each case, God announces good news. He says, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news." And the good news is always, I'm there for you. I have come for you. I am present to take your guilt away. Therefore, get up. Move on with faith. I'm with you. I have work for you to do. Be not afraid. And in this case, the angel announces to the shepherds the good news for all people. That the Messiah that these Jews have so long expected has come. And that he has just been born, and you will find him lying in a manger. How would we feel if what we have been expecting for a long, long time, the second coming of Christ, how would we feel if that was announced to us, that was going to happen today? I tell you, in light of what's happened this week, I'd be pretty excited. That's how the shepherds felt. That's how they felt when they heard this good news. They felt that way particularly when they arrived at the manger scene itself. But before they left, the angelic spectacular was not over. Other angels then join in, and we have that in verses 13 and 14. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." This is a pronouncement of the grace of God, the favor of God that would, in Christ's finished work, result in peace being established between God and us. Christ, through what he did for us on the cross, is our peace. He has reconciled us while we are yet sinners to himself. And of course, the shepherds didn't get that at the time that this announcement came to them. But we are to get that now. Now, what the angels proclaim here, this peace that they proclaim, that is not about the inner peace that that we can now enjoy as individuals. That's not what this is about. This is about the peace that Christ has accomplished for humanity. The peace that now exists between humanity and God through faith in Christ's finished work. Well, our text then concludes with the shepherds' enthusiastic response, verses 15 to 20. When the shepherds had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. You know, if they had delayed in leaving and going to see what had happened, I wonder if the epiphany would have soon faded as their responsibilities in the world intruded. That certainly is a common, very common thing today. We have a epiphany of sorts, and you know, in a couple days, it's sort of on the back shelf because our responsibilities in the world intrude. So they didn't, but they didn't delay. They said, "Let's go." Now, have we ever stopped to think what happened with the flocks at the shepherds going to see this thing that had happened? They just left the flocks. For a moment, they were compelled to lay aside every other priority. Now, what they saw when they arrived at the manger scene, in all likelihood, bore some resemblance to the nativity scenes we picture. What they saw was an unimpressive stable with straw and feeding trough, barely illuminated by a small lamp. There was no halo over the baby's head. I doubt that the cattle were compelled by some sixth sense to all of a sudden just gather around the manger. The angels were gone. The magi were days from arriving. What the shepherds saw were two young parents, transfixed by the birth of their firstborn son. Yet because of what they had witnessed in the angel's announcement to them, they viewed this scene with eyes of faith. They viewed it with believing eyes. And so they were compelled to spread the word concerning what had been told them by the angels about this child. And at that very time, there happened to be a lot of pilgrims going through. There was a census that was commanded by the Romans, and so there were a lot of people passing through for this census. And all of them who heard the shepherd's testimony were amazed by what they said. Now, you know, when you hear a testimony of somebody who obviously in some way has been touched by an angel, you know that that testimony has the ring of authenticity. And the shepherd's joy was contagious. And so the word began to spread. There's a Christmas carol that captures all this. Angels We Have Heard Angels We Have Heard on High. That's an 18th century, so we're talking about the 1700s here. That's an 18th century French carol where the onlookers ask, the onlookers ask, shepherds, why this jubilee? Why your joyous strains prolong? Say what may the tidings be which inspire your heavenly song. To which the shepherds reply, come to Bethlehem and see him whose birth the angels sang. Come, adore, on bended knee, Christ the Lord, the newborn King. Well, eventually, the shepherds returned to work. But they would never be the same. Now they were glorifying and praising God in a whole new way for all the things they had heard and seen. And I'm certain that their witness continued to be contagious. We know it was contagious because we're here. Today we don't find ourselves to be witnesses of angelic announcements, but we do have the good news of the Creator of the universe having come to walk among us in Jesus and having offered himself in atonement for our sin so that we sinful people through faith can be reconciled to our Heavenly Father and experience him to be our peace. There is no peace outside of Christ. So in these days of Advent and beyond, may the good news of our gospel penetrate us where we get quiet, fall on our knees, and hear the angels sing. May we, by the filling of the Spirit of God, come into a contagious joy over the good news, which we then share unapologetically with those in our spheres of influence. May we, as the shepherds, never be the same. Heavenly Father, we sit in quiet and seek to hear your voice in a profound way. And we pray that at a heart level, we might join the hosts of people who through the ages have felt that compelling desire to share the good news when the opportunity arises. Particularly at this season of the year, with many being more open to hearing. Put people in our path that are like those first people in Bethlehem who, when they heard the testimony, were amazed at what they heard. And give people just a taste of something more, and bring them to churches where they can hear the gospel preached, and so that they can experience you to be their